episode?
Go Ham Unleashed.
Yeah. All right. What's up? Welcome back to the Go Ham Podcast. Today we are going to be doing another episode of Go Ham Unleashed, where we will be diving into different social media posts and breaking down the comments and all the fun stuff. So let's get to it.
I gotta be honest, these are like some of my funnest podcasts that we actually shoot.
Yeah,
I like
the
too.
Impromptu-ness of it. Yeah, and yeah. The open discussion. It's great.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
The issue is though that when we're like diving into these, I get caught up reading the comments and I just am like, I don't even want to stop. I just want to keep going.
You just went down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. All right. So
what'd you find today? What do you got?
Let's see. The first one. Oh, this one's good. So this is behindthechair.com. Does pre-booking really matter if... So if clients are constantly changing their appointments last minute, does it always make sense to pre-book? Add your thoughts below.
So controversial, this topic, I feel like. Because even like from our stylists, I feel like, well, pre-books are hurting me. Pre-books are that, you know?
I kind of have a strong opinion on pre-books from a mom perspective, but we'll get into that.
What's your comment?
Well, you know what's funny is that I'm a mom and we're opposite on our views with it.
Because you were taking like the business side of the importance behind it, where I'm looking at it like, kind of doesn't make sense to me.
No. No. What I'm saying here is, just the way we operate our personal lives, I think, like pre-booking for me is great. Whereas for you, it's like, hell no. Like,
yeah, no way.
I can't commit to that.
I'm kind of with her. Like sometimes it's like, actually lately, majority of the times it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And I'm changing my appointment.
I'm going to ask you this question in like another month or so after you have that 4th baby. Life isn't as chaotic for you right now, but wait till that 4th comes.
My life can't get more chaotic, so...
Well, here's a comment that I thought was interesting. We dropped our percentage goal to 65% instead of 75%, and we have less cancellations and more room for last minute calls. It's working great.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I can see the value in that because I feel like some of our stylists are struggling with that now. They're pre-booked so far out that they can't see new guests.
Yeah.
But also, like, I feel like right now, we focus on retention rather than rebooking because of just that. Like,
yeah. And I think it's like for the hair industry, like I can see both sides of it. I see the importance of it, you know, to give them a little bit of they know where they're going to be in a month or so. But then from a consumer, like a client point, like what does it matter if I leave the salon and call tonight or if I, you know, call back in a week? Like, what does it matter if you don't get me rebooked while I'm in your chair?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand the point. And like my biggest, I gotta be honest, my biggest pet peeve for rebooking is at the pediatrician's office. I can't stand when you just sat and waited and then sat in a doctor's office and then your kid's getting needles and then you're walking out and they're like, oh wait, stop here, we want to rebook your next appointment, and I have a kid screaming, crying on my hip, and I'm just like, don't even look at me right now, like I'll call you.
Hold on. You can't even rebook
because I'm about to blow your mind right now. I have been on the other end of your phone when you are livid that you can't get in.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, but also...
I'm switching practices. I can't get in. I can never get my kid in. And I'm like,
but in my defense, I have been there and tried to book or pre-book or rebook, whatever you want to call it. And they told me they didn't have any room for me.
Yeah.
Like, I literally stood there and she was like, do you just want to call back tonight and see?
Oh, my gosh.
And I mean, that's what I was dealing with. So, like, I'm not wasting my time at your front desk. I'll call, I'll figure it out, or I'll go somewhere else.
Well, this is a feisty topic right now.
Scheduling a year in advance, and like, oh no, we're not scheduling that far out. I was like, okay, cool, I'm going to try and remember in 4 months from now to make my kid's annual appointment.
Yeah,
and like, so next annoying. Thing you know, they've gone like 2 years without
so an annoying.
Appointment. Yeah.
So an interesting topic came up the other day. I had a stylist pop in the office, and we were chatting through some things regarding pre-booking, and she basically was like, what are your thoughts on me like releasing, she's extremely booked and busy, and she's like, what are your thoughts on me like releasing availability monthly and basically being like, you know, now booking for August or August appointments available? And I'm like, that's kind of cool. Like I like the idea of it, but I also have so many questions.
I'm so confused. So only having a book that's open 4 weeks at a time, is that what you're saying?
I guess, I don't know. Let's not dive too heavily.
It seems a little chaotic.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I see where she was trying to go with that.
Yeah. And honestly, I just don't know enough about it to have a true opinion.
Yeah.
But anyway, so mine is, this one has 128 likes. So Bella Monica 71 posted, clients who have continually changed their pre-booked appointments, I no longer rebook. When they ask why, I let them know there's no point because we both have really busy schedules. So please reach out to me to book when you know you have something that won't interfere with your appointment. And she got a lot of love on that, and a lot of comments as well. So I don't know. I mean, that one's interesting for me.
I like it, though. I feel like it gives the client the flexibility. Mm-hmm. It doesn't put the pressure on them. Like, I know for me, too. Like, I've been in scenarios where I'm, like, still in the middle of my appointment, and they're like, okay, let's get you rebooked. And I'm like, I didn't even finish this one. Like, can I just gather my thoughts for a second? Like,
that's true.
So I think it takes a little bit of pressure off and gives you a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah. But also, like, I think this is situational, and if it's a person that's constantly doing it, like, you just have to have a conversation with this person. So
that's what I think the point was here. Yeah. It's like, let me...
passive aggressively.
Yes, 100%. And we did this recently with the no-show thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, well, have you talked to this person about the fact that they've no-showed you once or twice? And it's typically, well, no, I don't want to do that. And it's like, well, as soon as you do that, they're gonna start to think about it differently.
Yeah.
But them calling the salon, having someone in between you and them that they can be like, hey, I can't make it, sorry. You know, it's like, it just, I don't know, it's crazy.
Right. Yeah.
What do you got, Lee?
I have from Jessica Salon Oriano. I pre-book so regularly, they know they can't get in easily if they cancel. But if they do cancel, I have enough people watching out on my wait list to fill in within a few hours. And if they do not have to reschedule, rarely due to urgent conflicts, I try to work them in an appreciation for not typically moving around. Shout out to Jess. I mean, this wealth mindset approach. I feel like if you're that successful and, you know, you're pre-booked out that much and you have a wait list, like, that's pretty much key.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping that organized so that if you do, you see it as an opportunity, not as something negative if somebody cancels last minute.
Yep.
Then you're not, like, acting out of scarcity, like, you need to charge that client because she didn't show, like... Yeah. Hey, you know, if it's somebody that's doing it consistently, here's my cancellation policy. But if it's something that happened, no harm, no foul, I got somebody else lined up.
Yeah. Like that's like luxury right there.
Yeah. And I can appreciate that as a, you know, a stylist that's so busy and like, hey, if you want me to do your hair, like, I'm just giving you a heads up. You need to pre-book to get back on my book in time because you're probably not calling and getting an appointment.
Right.
I understand that end of it too. So it's definitely circumstantial for me with my opinions.
Yeah. I think the one time you cancel with somebody and can't get back in with them, it's like they're either going to pre-book for the rest of their time with you, or they're going to go to somebody else where they have that flexibility too.
Yeah,
for sure.
On to the next one.
All right. So the next post that we have lined up is Masters of Balayage. If you could change one thing about the hair industry, what would it be?
Oh, so I actually enjoyed going through these comments, but the one that stood out to me most was Celeste Moon Hair says, school actually preparing their students to do hair / build a business and not just how to pass a test. These junior stylists enter into an assisting program not really knowing how to correctly hold shears or how the chemicals they are using actually work or how to market themselves and why we pre-book it. Why pre-booking is vital, etc., etc. A newly licensed stylist should be ready to work with a senior or master to start learning advanced techniques and to be their extra set of hands to get more experience. Yet, we are having to start from the ground up with the basics. Might as well do an apprenticeship and save all that money to begin with because school is not advancing at the speed that the industry is.
Yeah, we say this all the time. Like, teach them commissions, like what commissions mean. Like they come in like totally unaware of like how they get paid, what to look or ask for when they're in an interview, like the whole like business aspect of it.
Yep.
I really agree with that. I wish that they would kind of prep them a little bit more on like what it might look like inside a commission salon, even like suites, like what the reality of that is.
I've reached out and offered to teach that program at the schools and was shot down. Literally.
Oh, shocker.
Like, they don't want you in here telling them, you know, what really they, how they should, things that they should be looking for in interviews. I don't know why. Yeah, I'm like, why? I can't understand. Like, yeah. But I do. I also think that a lot of the schools have affiliate salons.
Oh, okay.
And they don't, they want to cherry pick their people to go to their salons, like, which, like, understood.
They also want to take them on as teachers, probably, because I'm sure that's a struggling.
Yeah, they're recruiting. Like, hey, if you could kindly not educate them on that, that would be best for me.
Yeah.
Oh my god, well, it drives me nuts though, because I feel like it's like the normal to know, like, oh, you're going to hair school, oh, you're just getting your hours. Like, why? Like, you're paying, how much did we just talk about, like, almost $20,000 to just get your hours,
and they give them trash kits.
It's terrible. Like, a lot of restructuring needs to happen, or they need to be a little bit more willing to have apprenticeships. Like, let salons teach these kids. Like, let them just come to us, and we can groom them from day one and get them to where they need to be.
Yeah. I mean, they're literally just getting them ready for boards, and that's it.
Yeah, they're so unprepared when they come out of school, I feel like.
Yep.
Even, like, the marketing and rebooking piece, like, they don't...
Oh, for sure. And she even mentioned it in there. She said, like, how, you know, important that is. What do you guys find?
All right, so I have at @Gavs_hair. Very simple. Social media allowing popularity to outweigh talent.
Ooh.
1,500 likes and 52 comments replies on that. Yep.
Wow. Mm-hmm. This is going back to your comment about a revolution happening. Mm-hmm. I think everybody's over it.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the God's honest truth. I feel like there's a place on social media for educators, and there's a place for, you know, people who are trying to grow their business behind the chair. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to identify that they're two different things should be more of a focus, because, you know, the educators, they have an audience, but ours is completely separate. And we talk to our team about that, you know, that,
yeah,
you know, you have to kind of identify, like, if you want to be an educator, we'll fully support that. But if you want to be focusing on growing a client base, then, you know, and I hope that just takes a little bit of pressure off, because, like, your pictures don't need to be, you know, this crazy, like, I just don't want, I guess, like, stylists who are focused on growing a client base to be comparing themselves to educators in the industry or influencers in the industry.
Well, and also from a consumer standpoint, I think it's, like, such a disservice when you're putting out these fake pictures, because, like, for me, I might go on and be like, oh my God, I love this blonde. Like, I want this blonde. Then I go to a stylist and they're like, this is so filtered. You'll never have this hair, because that girl never had this hair.
AI.
Like, yeah. It's so true.
Yeah.
I think there's a market for every individual, though, too. Like, and having, being able to see results from somebody, like, locally, I think speaks volumes, rather than bringing in, like, a picture from a content creator of somebody who works out in, like, LA, you know?
Well, what is it? Like, I could be totally wrong on this, but isn't there somewhere that if you alter a picture, you have to write on it that you altered a picture? Like, there was something, and I don't know what industry that is or where, but if you take a picture and there's any kind of alteration, like, legally, you have to, it's almost like a copyright, like, I guess, kind of thing. Like,
don't come for me.
I'm assuming this may be plastic surgeons.
Oh, maybe. I forget where I saw it. I need to pay better attention, but I did see something like that. Like, you legally have to, maybe it's photoshopping with, like, models and stuff.
Like, my plastic surgeon, like, please don't show me AI things. Yeah, like, no. I need you to show me what the real deal is going to look like once you're done with this.
No, but I think that could help a lot. Like, when you're looking at a picture and then you look at underneath in the caption and it says this has been altered.
Kind of like when, like, people have ads, like, this is an ad.
Yeah, one would be posting.
Yeah.
Well, then you're doing us a favor. I don't want to see your fake shit. If you can't post what you did, then don't post.
Listen, I love a little spot retouch on myself here and there.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. You're not trying to sell somebody your face. Like, I mean, when you're trying to sell somebody your services, like, hey, I can do hair. No, you can't. You can alter pictures. That's what you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what a lovely world we used to live in. Shout out to my post from 2011.
Wait, somebody was like, can we please just go back to the effing 90s in this
country? But maybe there is a reason why. Like, maybe there is an importance behind why people do that and why stylists today feel the need to alter. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure what the reasoning is. I don't know. Comment in the comments if you are a stylist that alters your pictures, why, and the reasons behind why you do it. Maybe I'll understand more.
Yeah,
but I just don't get it. From a consumer standpoint or a hairstylist, hair owner, no reason for it.
Yeah.
Mine's a little boring.
What do you got?
But it really hits home. Not for me, but I could just feel...
It's relatable. This,
yeah. So state-to-state licensing, I wish we could unionize and petition for a federally recognized license.
I like this too.
I just think about, like, you know, if you were a hairstylist and you had to move because your husband got a job somewhere, yep, like you, and you had kids, and the only option for you is to go back to school to be able to get a job, like, yeah, that sucks.
I know someone this has happened to.
Yeah.
I know somebody that was a hairstylist here, had her license here, and then her husband got transferred in work. She had to move with four little kids.
Yeah.
And she just doesn't even do it. Now she's a realtor.
It sucks. Right. It's so dumb. Yeah. And, you know, like, we live close to the Delaware border. This is the first time we've experienced this.
And Jersey.
Yes, and Jersey. But school-wise, we have an apprentice that's working for us right now that went to school in Delaware. And the hours are even different. So it's like when you're on like a border type situation, like that's very difficult, especially if they're not lining up properly. Like if one is 1250 and one 1600.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot of hours you're talking about. So like, can we get across the board with
doing
like
the same shit?
Yeah, like the unleash. That was good.
I think I saw on a Facebook group that they might be trying to do this.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I support that.
I'll support it.
Yeah.
Drop a comment. Get us involved.
Last but certainly not least, we're going to get into a post that was on Harebrained Official, and it's religion plus politics. This is the elephant in the room, I think.
All right.
Do they have space in your salon? Everybody has to have an opinion about this.
Do they have a space in your salon? What's the thoughts?
Oh, God. I don't know. I think to keep the sanity everywhere in today's day and age, there should not be any talk of politics and religion because... it's just so hypersensitive right now,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Right now, it is such a hot topic for so many people.
So this, for me, was like a lesson that was driven home early. And I have to say, I still follow it. And it's basically just like, you know, avoid it. It's not something that should be spoken about in the salon. You know, I operated a business that... I was super close with most of my clients at the end when I started to shift from behind the chair, and I pretty much knew most of their political views, but I think I got to a point where I was able to navigate those conversations professionally to let them know, like, hey, this isn't the place. And that served me well. Like, I have to be honest, like, I was certainly put in certain situations, especially in 2020 when the election was happening. Like, there was a particular, it was the day after the November election, and I had a client burst into tears in my chair and go off, like fire off about the results. And I like kind of at that time didn't know how to handle that situation. Like, I was kind of like, yo, you got to chill. Like, I'm not doing this right now. Like, I own this salon, you know, and how many times have we had during those times where the clients start battling.
Yeah.
You know?
When you can overhear the politic battle. Yeah,
like, just don't do it.
That's just it. I mean, and if you can't have a civil conversation, like, you just shouldn't do it.
I think some people can, and some people can't. And if you can't, then maybe just avoid it.
Yeah, you really need to know your setting and your audience for, you know, for example.
100%.
One thing I thought was interesting was Covey Lori. She wrote, "My clients know I'm conservative, and I know they are more liberal, but we both respect each other's opinions, and we really like each other as people, so it has never been a problem. People are so much more than their political beliefs. I really love my liberal clients, as they are wonderful people. We are all adults, and we respect each other." And I just think that just says it all right there. Mm-hmm. Like, you're allowed to have one view. Your client's allowed to have a different view, whether it's politics or religion or beliefs, but you just got to keep the... like that
professionalism.
There's a fine line, and you have to keep that professionalism. Now, I know for me, for example, I've had conversations in the break room when people were like talking about opinions and stuff, but it was never like a heated conversation. And like, you know, and I'm not afraid to give my opinion if I think it's not going to cause a big demise between everybody. I'm okay with that, but I definitely have to watch my audience, because I was questioned one time by a client. She was trying to feel me out. I knew what she was doing. She wanted me to tell her my political, whether I was Democrat or Republican.
Stance, yeah.
Yeah, she wanted to know. And she was putting me on the spot up front. There were other people there. There were employees there. And, it took a lot out of me. It was just an exhausting conversation, especially because her and I were both on completely opposite ends of the spectrum with mm-hmm. this. Like, I couldn't have any more different beliefs than she had. And she just was, like, poking and poking and poking and poking. And I kept my composure the whole entire time because I knew this wasn't the time or the place.
Yeah.
If outside of the salon, if she ever wanted to have a conversation, I would never back down from one.
Yeah.
But it just, I knew there were people around. It's not anything you should talk about.
I'm so proud of you.
Dude. It was tough. I went home that night and opened the bottle of wine for sure.
I think, like, politics and religion are sensitive topics. They should be respected. Everybody is entitled to their opinions, their beliefs, whatever it is. And as long as you are able to respect that, then fine, you know? But if you can't and you cannot process that somebody else may be a different religion or have different political views, then my recommendation is to just keep your mouth closed. Well, like, this goes back to my mom. Like, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Like, if you can't process that other people have different views, then it's just something that shouldn't be spoken about in public. And that's my stance as an owner. Like, if I if I was made aware that there's a situation happening on the salon floor that's getting aggressive, I'm going to shut it down.
Yeah, and that was, like, the situation up front when I was at the front desk and that client was just, like, oh, I swear they were just, like, antagonizing me. But she was bullying me. She just wanted to know. Like, and I wasn't telling her either way. But, like, if I felt like it was something that I could have said and she wasn't going to come down on me and judge me and rip me apart the way she was ready for it. Whatever, she came in, like, ready to go at me. Mm-hmm. And I never gave her the opportunity because I'm just like, you know what? I have my own beliefs. You're not going to ever change my mind. And I'm never going to change your mind. So I don't care.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to go to mine, which is at Charlie Price Hair. I fired all Trump supporter clients and virtually all Republicans. And I'll talk about religion if they'll talk about my atheism. I'm old and established, so I can do this. I bit my tongue and tolerated the evil right wing rich ladies for decades. It all depends on one's position in their career and life as to what is prudent. So it had 310 likes, 41 replies. So,
God damn.
His heels are dug in. That's all I can say. Yeah, they are dug in deep. That seems
like somebody who shouldn't be talking about politics or religion.
No, 100%. Yeah, and just stay off social media,
this
bud.
This is what...
Don't give anybody any ideas. You're not doing any good for anyone.
This is pretty aggressive. And, you know, to each his own. You know, if you're in a suite and you want to have these beliefs and be, you know, as firm as you are on your stance, then by all means. But I just think as an owner, I definitely wouldn't be this firm
I have a question for him. So he won't perform a service on a Trump supporter or a Republican. What if he was sick and had a doctor who was a Republican or conservative and needed them to help him? Mm-hmm. Would he take it from them?
I don't know.
Because if that's the case, then you should be that across the board.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do services for someone else, then no one should do services for you that don't have the same beliefs. That's just dumb.
Yeah,
all right, let's move on.
But I want to talk about religion, though, because I feel like I like to talk about religion because I feel like I was always, like, so fascinated by other people's religion.
Yeah, but see, this goes back to, this is exactly what I'm talking about here.
What?
You are a level-headed human being who can have a conversation, whereas this individual that I just brought up, this Charlie Price Hair with 100,000 followers, by the way, he can't. He's incapable. He's unfortunately not able.
But not only that, we literally have world wars right now over religion. We can't talk about it.
Why not? I mean, all right, so mine's from Much Love Mahogany. Salons and barbershops have been spaces where marginalized folks have gathered to discuss the happenings of their communities. Before women had the right to vote, they would gather at beauty shops freely and share their opinions, perspectives, and ideas when that type of thing had no place in a polite society. Yes, people come for the hair care, but stay for the vibes. I don't see it as a requirement to discuss politics or religion, but I will never shut it down, even when I don't agree with them. Unless there is harmful language, then you can take yes out of my chair. And I love that. I feel like if you're, again, somebody with a level head and can carry a conversation without things getting too heated, then by all means, go ahead. But I also like the volume of the conversation. Like, if somebody else can overhear it, like, that's another thing that you need to be.
Well, so this is giving me like PTSD vibes. Like, I'm being brought back to being behind the salon chair in 2020 when we're in the most volatile election of all time. And the conversations were happening. And as an owner and a stylist, it was just uncomfortable. That was all it was. It was like, you know, like, listen, we could have the same views. We can have opposing views. I'm just not into having this conversation right now because I don't know what this person is next to me. I don't know how this stylist feels. I'm here to do hair, have a good time, and send you out the door at the end of the day. I'm not here to get into it. And
you're killing the vibe right
it's
now.
Also
like, come on. Like, I just, it's not something that I want to be talking about. And like, to what she said, like, sure. But I think it's different. If you're in a suite, if you're in a private setting and you can have a conversation like that, but when there's an audience, it's a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree what you're saying, but I totally disagree with this post because I feel like this post is so, it's not like up to date. Like, it's so out of touch with reality, because the reality is that back then when she was referring to women come in the hair salons and all, and they could talk, times were different. Things were different. Now there's cancel culture. There's all kinds of things that come in with politics and religion, and there's just no room for it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a very personal issue. It's like a personal, deep feeling that you have. And I have no time for it. And
well, speaking of, this just brought me up. There was a local salon that I don't know what election this was, but or whenever it was, but basically a client went on and reviewed the business based off of the owner being at an event. And I won't say which side, but you guys, do you remember this happening?
But this is true, guys. Like, cancel culture. You'll get canceled, God forbid. And basically, you say you believe in a God or you believe in a
politician. They basically said, like, you know, I was a supporter of this business until now. I saw on social media that this owner was at this event, and I will no longer patronize this business. And what I loved that I saw at that time was her team came together so hard for her. And there was one girl who's her right hand that basically said, like, listen, my political views and her political views don't align, but what you did here was bullshit.
Yeah.
And I will never allow this. And I just loved it because I'm like, you know what? This is like, you need to do that. Like, this can't happen, and you're an asshole. And if that's how you're going to operate, then I don't want you as a client anyway, lady. Kick rocks.
Yeah. Like, just like the guy that, you know, is firing his people because of their beliefs. I mean, he can kick rocks too.
Yeah. Business is business. Yeah. Like, you can't base an experience off of politics or
there
religion.
Has to be a professional element to it. Like, and if you lose that, then, I mean, oh, God.
Yeah,
like, it could just go all over the place. So you got to keep it in line and keep it in check.
Well, we're getting heated in here.
Definitely getting hot in here.
About time to wrap things up. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. Make sure you like or subscribe, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye.